Our scripture reading, we turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. As far we read in God's inspired Word, the passage, the Lord's Day that we consider this morning, Lord's Day 7, is based upon such passages. Lord's Day 7. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? No, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. What is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge, whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his Word, but also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin Everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. What are these articles? I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Catechism, beloved, has patiently led us to an understanding of our mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Catechism has taught us that He needs to be and is both man and God, that He has been given to us by God, and that He is perfectly our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. And we know this from the gospel. Question and answer 19 says, which we considered last time, we know of our Savior from the Holy Gospel, the gospel which God proclaims, and in particular which God proclaims into the very heart of His elect people with that internal call, that internal work, which is only worked in the hearts of God's elect, but which is effectually worked in the hearts of God's elect. Through that work, through that gospel proclaimed into our hearts, we know of our Savior. And that gospel clearly reveals Him as our salvation. From that point, question 20 of our Lord's Day 7 comes. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? If Christ is salvation, and implied the only salvation, then are all men, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? And the answer, of course, is no, not all are saved. Only some are saved. Only those who are engrafted into Christ are saved. Only those who have faith are saved, says the Catechism. And on that last idea, the Catechism continues, what then is faith? Is the follow-up question. What is faith? And according to answer 21 of Lord's Day 7 that we consider this morning, according to answer 21, the fundamental answer to the question, what is faith, is this. Faith is that which makes me say, that which makes the child of God say, salvation is to me, to me. True faith is a knowledge, a certain knowledge, the answer says, but it's not only a certain knowledge, but also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, an assured confidence that not only to others, but to me also remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God. Salvation for me also. That's the statement of faith, the statement that only one who has faith can make. We consider faith from that point of view this morning, from the point of view of our theme, which is to me also, taking the words from directly from our Heidelberg Catechism. First of all, said with confidence. Those words are said with confidence. Secondly, we notice that this is a sovereignly given statement. This is a statement, to me also, is a statement that God works in the heart and out of the mouth of the child of God by giving him that faith. And thirdly, it is also a confession of grace. To me also is a confession of grace. If one is to be confident about something, then he must know that something. To suggest that someone is confident about something he doesn't know about, is absurd, of course. Very, very obvious that someone needs to know about something in order for him to be confident about something. So to be confident, then, one must have a certain knowledge. In order to say, to me also, with confidence, one must first know what is true for me also. And that's where the Catechism comes from when it says that faith is a certain knowledge. It's a certain knowledge. True faith is not only a certain knowledge, but it is a certain knowledge, and that's, in fact, where faith must begin. It's a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word. Let's take a step back a moment in that phrase and look at the phrase, just this part of the phrase. Faith is a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth. Faith begins, beloved, with a knowledge that there is truth. Now that would be rather foolish to point out some generations ago, but that's vital to be pointed out today, where the common consensus, it seems, in the world around us is that there is no such thing as absolute truth. The whole concept of absolute truth is outdated and laughable. Each man determines what is true for himself. What is true for me may not be true for you. The world speaks that way every day, all the time, about everything. Faith says all of that is nonsense. Faith says there is an absolute truth. And I hold truth, absolute truth. And where I find that truth, what I hold to be true, absolutely true, true over all time and for all men, that which I hold to be true is that which I find in the Word of God. Faith holds that the Bible is true. That in the second place, and that too, vital, fundamental knowledge of faith. And there too, stepping now outside of the world at large and stepping into that which calls itself church, we find many problems there too, don't we, with regard to the fundamental of faith, holding that the Bible is true. Even that which is called church today puts a dim view or takes a dim view of the Scripture, of the Word of God. And they say it might be true, it might not be true. You never know exactly how much of this is God's Word and how much of this is Paul's opinion. Not sure if it's absolutely infallible. Overall, yes, you can get God's idea, but you don't know if every word is God's word. Again, faith says all of that leads me astray. All of that is nonsense. Faith says, I hold that everything revealed in the Word of God is true. I don't question it. I don't return to it over and over again to worry that question over and over. Is it true? I've decided it. It's concluded. Faith says, the Bible, the Scripture, is true and without error. Then faith holds also that what God has revealed in His Word is true. All the stories of the Word of God are true. And we mean stories in the highest sense, not as fictional, but as true, true stories, revelations of truth. The doctrines of the Word of God are true. The overall sense of the Word of God that one gains after reading over the Word of God and digesting the Word of God, that is true. That which Scripture refers to as the mind of Christ, that a child of God gains by taking in the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God, all of that is true. That means, then, of course, as an aside, for us as God's people, that we must know these stories and these doctrines, and that we must constantly be searching all of the Scriptures so that we can put on the mind of Christ, not only have a long list of data and facts in our mind, but be able to think the way that God thinks, to think the way that our Savior thinks, because we know Him as we read and study Him in the Word and hear Him in that Word as it's preached. Faith holds that what God has revealed in His Word is true. And so faith seeks to know more and more what God has revealed in His Word. But faith is not only, the Catechism says, not only a knowledge. Faith is also an assured confidence that not only to others, but to me also, salvation is to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, all of the benefits and blessings, the grace and the glory of God for His people. That's true for me also. That's the real heart of faith. That's the sine qua non of faith, or that's the essence of faith. Without this, it is not faith. Whatever it is, it's not faith. One can know that the Bible is true, but not have faith. One can say, yes, that book there is true. I believe that what the Word is there, or that Scripture is, I believe that that's true, but he doesn't have faith. One cannot have assurance without faith, and one cannot have faith without assurance. And this assured confidence is very personal, according to the Catechism. Faith says not only to others, but to me also, to me personally, these things are true. Beloved, faith does not stand on the sidelines watching. Faith does not sit off in a corner waiting, looking on at the work of God among His people, but sit along the sides, merely content to watch and to observe. Faith is not shy, retiring. Faith is boisterous. Faith is bold. Maybe to put it better, faith is desperate. Faith needs, longs, and therefore searches after that which it needs and longs for. Faith says, I must have that which is in the Word of God and that which is true. I must have that. I must have that personally or else I'll die. That's the activity and the statement of faith. Faith says it cannot be that it's only true for others. It must be true for me too. Faith is very active then. Faith takes hold of that which is true in the Word of God. Faith embraces that which is true in the Word of God. When one embraces something, he takes that unto himself, doesn't he? That's the idea. Faith embraces that which is true in the Word of God. Faith appropriates to oneself that which is true in the Word of God. That's the language of our Belgic Confession, Article 22, which describes faith. We believe that to attain the true knowledge of this great mystery, the Holy Ghost kindleth in our hearts an upright faith, faith which embraces Jesus Christ with all His merits, appropriates Him, and seeks nothing more besides Him. As the Catechism or the Belgic Confession very well puts it there, faith embraces Jesus Christ. That's what faith says is to me also. I must have Him, faith says. He's mine. And faith embraces Him, takes Him unto oneself. Faith takes Jesus Christ, the Belgic Confession says, with all His merits, all that He has earned, merited for His people, takes all of that unto oneself. The Catechism lists out a few of those merits with the phrase, all His merits. The Belgic Confession teaches us rightly that there are many. Heidelberg Catechism, not denying that, mentions only a few of them. Remission of sin, one of the merits of Christ. Faith then says that remission of sin, that forgiveness, that taking away of sin, that cannot be only for others. That is for me also. Faith takes hold of that. Faith says, I need that because I'm a sinner. I need that remission of sin or otherwise I'm damned. I must have that. Faith actively reaches out and takes hold of it unto oneself. The same with everlasting righteousness. It's not sufficient that one is simply forgiven of their sins. In fact, there is no mere forgiveness of sins. Whenever God forgives one of their sins, He also gives to them righteousness. We need to be positively righteous, not only forgiven, not only have our sins taken away, we need to be positively righteous in order to stand before God and to have a good and right relationship with Him. Faith recognizes that as well because that is taught in the Word of God. And faith says, I know that what is in the Word of God is true. And God tells me I need to be righteous. And so faith says also, I must have And it is for me also that everlasting righteousness, the everlasting righteousness which Jesus Christ has merited, for I have merited none of my own. No one else can give me theirs. There is no other righteousness apart from the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That everlasting righteousness then is mine, mine also, as well as it is the righteousness of the others whom He has chosen. The Catechism mentions remission of sin and everlasting righteousness, and then also says salvation. Salvation. Meaning, it seems, final salvation, final rescue from damnation and entering into heavenly joy. That is also mine, says faith. Faith hears all the Word of God that way, beloved. Faith does not simply hear the Word of God and hear just what it says. Faith does not come to the Word of God and say, I'm curious, I want to know what the Word of God says. What does it say? What does it declare? But faith says, I need to hear what the Word of God says to me personally. I need that Word of God. I cannot carry on without that Word of God. Must have that Word of God. That's what we mean too when we say we look for Christ in every passage. That's how we ought to train ourselves to read and study and listen to the Word of God. That doesn't mean we just ought to find Him so that we can, as it were, stand back and point to Him and say, there is Christ in the passage. The Scripture doesn't just talk about Christ as He is in Himself, nor ought we to approach the Word of God that way, simply to find Christ and talk about Him as He is in Himself. But the purpose of the Word of God and our calling with the Word of God is when we find Him in the Word of God, to embrace Him and to take Him unto ourselves. In other words, as we read any given passage or we hear the preaching on any given passage, we must take that Word of God unto ourselves. Say, that's mine. That's the Word of God to me also. That's faith, beloved. We say it's not only true. It's not only true for others, but it's true for me. Me too. All that so that I may be assured of my salvation and that I may grow in my assurance that I have the remission of sin and that I have everlasting righteousness and that I ultimately will be blessed forevermore in God's presence and glory. The reality is, beloved, there are various measures of attaining that great assurance. There are various measures within each child of God of attaining to that assurance. Sometimes we do have doubts. And we don't mention that to encourage doubting. The fact of the matter is, doubt is the opposite of faith. Doubt is unbelief. And the calling of the Word of God is, you must believe. Doubt, then, is sin. That's the reality. We also must not pretend that all of us are so full of assurance all the time, although the norm for the child of God is that he is assured. He He is confident. But we ought not leave the impression that we are all so full of confidence and assurance all of the time that when one does find in himself doubts, he immediately concludes, well, then I must be outside of the sphere of Christ. I must be a reprobate because all of God's people obviously are full of assurance, full of confidence, always are secure in their salvation. The fact of the matter is, sometimes doubts do afflict the child of God. And perhaps that is true for us. Any one of us gathers here this morning. Perhaps we cannot find assurance. There's various reasons for that. One of the things we must say is we may not conclude if we have those doubts. Doubts with regard to our salvation, doubts as with regard to the truth of the Word of God and the merits of Jesus Christ as those pertain to ourselves. If we have doubts with regard to that, we may not conclude that we are reprobate. That's not the right direction to go. Rather, what we ought to do, and this taught us by the Word of God as well as by a Reformed creeds, what we ought to do is look for the signs within ourselves. If we wonder, am I truly a child of God? Do I have faith? Is Jesus Christ for me also? Are His merits truly mine? Then we must look in our hearts. And we must ask ourselves, am I truly sorry for my sin? Do I have a fear of God? Do I look at Him as He is, sovereign, mighty God and Father? Do I long to be more holy? Do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? We look for those things. We find those signs, if ever so little, then we can conclude we have faith. Have faith. Perhaps our faith is weak, but we have faith. And we belong to our God. If that does not help as we struggle with a lack of assurance, then, beloved, by all means, call your elders and call your pastor. Don't struggle with those sorts of things all on your own, isolated by yourself, wrestling with those horrendous temptations and doubts. Seek help. That's why God has given to His church elders and pastor. And that is what we desire to serve you in, to help you through those sorts of struggles and trials and grave temptations. And finally, persevere in the use of the means of grace. Don't conclude, well, the Word of God does me no good, I have no faith, I am reprobate, and then stay home when the preaching goes forth. Come to the Word of God. Persevere in listening to the Word of God. Prepare yourself to hear the Word of God. And the Lord will, through those means which He uses to work faith in the hearts of His people, the Lord will, through those means, as well as the means of prayer, of good reading, meditating on the Scripture, conversations with godly family members and friends, God will use those means to strengthen your faith and to reassure you and to lead you once again into richer seasons of grace until you say, with every healthy child of God, these things in the Word of God, the merits of Jesus Christ, are true for me also. That faith, beloved, and that ability to make that blessed, comforting statement is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. That's Ephesians 2, verse 8, which we read this morning. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that, referring back to faith, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. When we speak of faith as the gift of God, we mean faith as a faculty, faith as an ability, faith as a new power worked into a fallen, totally depraved sinner. God works in him a new power, a new ability, an ability to know and to hear, to understand, to perceive spiritual things, things pertaining to Jesus Christ and all the merits that God has given to His people in Christ. When we speak of faith as the gift of God, though, we mean not only that ability, not only that faculty, but also the actual activity of faith. The act of believing also is a gift of God, which God works and activates in the hearts of His people. Faith as a gift of God is the means whereby we are engrafted into Christ. Ephesians 2 also refers to that. Even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. That's a reference to His regenerating us, but that's also at the same time a reference to the moment in which we were engrafted into Christ by faith, given that initial faculty, ability to believe, while at the same time being joined and united to Christ in an unbreakable union. Faith is that bond whereby we are engrafted to Christ, a faculty, an ability, a spiritual power, so that through that bond we receive all that we need for the sustaining, the strengthening, and the growth of our soul, of our spiritual life. That gift, God works by the Holy Spirit, the Catechism says. The Holy Ghost works this faith in me. True faith is not only a certain knowledge, but also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart. Works by the gospel in my heart. By that good news. That good news which God declares to you in the Word of God, through the Word of God, through the preaching as it comes to you, through your study of the Scriptures, through your knowledge of that Word of God, comes the gospel into your heart through the mysterious internal working of the Holy Spirit. But as He works that gospel into your heart, He works into your hearts faith, knowledge, and confidence. Then not only to others, and you say it then too, not only to others, but to me also. To me also. It's the remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation. Christ, all His merits are mine. How do I say that? How do you say that? Because God has given me the gift of faith, the ability, the power to believe through His wonder-working, powerful word. And through His Spirit who applies and works that word into my heart. And that confession, beloved, is an unashamed confession of grace. It's a confession of all the grace of God. To me also these things are true. When the child of God makes that statement, he means to say, even to me. That's what faith says. That's the true confession of the child of God who speaks with faith about the things that are true for him in Jesus Christ. He says, even for me. Even for me who am the least of all of God's people. Even for me who am the chief of sinners. Even for me who don't deserve any of this. Even for me. Merits of Christ are mine. Because I'm a sinner, they're given to me. They're given to me freely. Freely given by God. That's grace. Not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God. I haven't done anything to earn them. I certainly don't deserve them. But God gives these things to me freely, merely of grace, the Catechism goes on to say. Merely of grace, free, unmerited favor, only for the sake of Christ's merits. The Catechism ends. Only for the sake of Christ's merits. Because He has earned it all. Not because I have earned a thing, but because He has earned it all. He has merited all for me. Therefore, then, it's all true for me. That's the confession of faith. Any confession that says, Christ, grace, yes, but a little bit of my own work too, is no confession of faith. The confession of faith that God sovereignly works in the hearts of His children and activates us to take unto ourselves and to speak clearly before others. That confession is a confession which speaks only of the grace of God, which is ours through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Beloved, thank God for that confession that He has worked in your hearts, that you can say, not only to others, but to me also, all the merits of Christ are applied. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy gift of faith which Thou hast given to us. We thank Thee for quickening us in Christ, grafting us into Him, joining us unto Him so that we can receive all of His merits. We thank Thee also for, in that quickening, enlivening, awaking us, so that we become ourselves also active by Thy power, but so that we become also ourselves active in embracing Christ, appropriating Him, and making our bold confession of faith that Thou hast given salvation to me too, even to me. In Jesus' name we pray this with thanksgiving unto Thee. Amen.